Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the third of our videos on the early modern and modern Britain. And in this period, we're looking at the Stuart era. So if you remember where we left off with the Tudor era, we had Elizabeth the first was in power. So the Stuart period itself in England lasted from 1603 to 1714. And a bit like the Tudor period, its span is defined by the ruling family of the time, which was the Stuarts. And this was a period of great Protestant power in England. And politics and religion were very hard to separate at this time. Interestingly, the first king of the Stuart era was not actually English. He was from Scotland, and his name was James. And he was the king of Scotland before he came to rule England as well, after Queen Elizabeth I died. So this period would see another outbreak of civil war in England. And this time, the war was between a rising parliament, a rising government, and the old system of absolute monarchy. So this era is very complicated for many reasons. Okay, regarding James. So when Elizabeth I died, England still wanted a Protestant ruler to take over. So this is where James came into the story. James was the King of Scotland, and he was actually the cousin of Elizabeth I. So he went on to take both the Scottish and the English crown. So he was the leader of both countries. And actually, in his first speech to Parliament, King James I expressed his desire to create one state out of England and Scotland. And that state would be Great Britain. So his reign saw many fascinating and important historical developments. But amongst other things, Britain became the United Country, and they adopted a form of the Union Jack flag that we see today. So from this point onwards, England and Scotland were actually kind of synonymous together. However, James would eventually die, and he would be succeeded by his son, Charles I, in 1625. So King Charles I was a difficult ruler. He wasn't very popular, and he wasn't very effective as a king. He actually presided over a lot of large foreign policy failures, and he disliked Parliament, so he disliked the government, and he actually suspended Parliament twice. He truly believed in something called the divine rights of kings, which is the idea that kings rule their subjects with authority from God. Charles would eventually remove Parliament entirely, and he would rule England personally, almost like a kind of emperor, for around 11 years. It was during this time that England was deeply in debt, and Charles's method for raising money for his kingdom angered many people. So eventually, Charles's way of leading without a kind of parliament, a government, led to open revolt. So Scotland itself revolted, and it actually removed any English forces that were there. But fighting raged all around Scotland and England. Charles needed large-scale military actions to kind of reestablish control. And eventually, he did form a kind of new parliament in 1640. But this new parliament disagreed with the way Charles wanted to rule. And by 1642, the English Civil War had broken out. So the English Civil War had two sides, and they were the Parliament and they were the King. So supporters for either side were usually divided by geography. So the King's supporters lived in the countryside, and the Parliament supporters tended to live in ports and cities. Eventually, the Parliamentarians, who were the supporters of Parliament and against the King, they won in 1649. And what they actually did, they killed Charles. They executed him. This wasn't the end of the fighting completely, though. And the English Civil War consisted actually of three separate conflicts, starting from 1642 and actually ending in 1651. So it was actually Britain's worst civil war. One of the developments of this war for Britain was the creation of a new model army by the parliamentarians. So if we look at this in terms of military history, this marked a kind of major departure from the previous model of using militias, which are not professional forces, versus the professional standing army that now came into existence. So the concept of a fully professionalized army was new to Britain. And the troops of this standing army had proper training in warfare. They had regular wages, and they developed more tactical skills than they had previously. What had happened before this time, where they were very few full-time soldiers. The king or the leader at the time would kind of gather people from their area. They would fight in whatever war was going on, and then they would go back to their regular life. So there wasn't any full-time soldiers up to this point. So one of the most important figures to emerge from this conflict was a man called Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell led the parliamentary side in the English Civil War. Later on, he was a politician. So he was a supporter for the execution of King Charles I. This execution was a kind of event that sent a shock throughout Europe. European powers just didn't kill their leaders. This wasn't what was normal. And the fact that Britain had done it kind of made other leaders in Europe a little bit wary. So Oliver Cromwell himself would go on to act as the leader of the first Commonwealth of England from 1653 to 1658. So that was the time that England and Scotland themselves would actually not have a monarch. It would just be run by a kind of parliament. So Cromwell was able to maintain peace during his reign, but he mainly did this by using the new model army kind of run society. So after Cromwell died in 1658, there was a political power vacuum, and this, of course, had to be filled. So British society longed for the earlier days of stability and prosperity, and they wanted to find a solution for the troubles at the time that led eventually to the decision to restore the monarchy. So they wanted to bring back the old system of having a monarch. So this led to King Charles II, who was Charles I's son, and he was established as the new King of Britain. Charles II was an interesting ruler. He had learned the lessons from his father. He'd studied the history, and he wanted to avoid the mistakes that his father and other monarchs had made. So he was a very even-handed ruler, and he introduced very practical reforms. So, for example, he introduced new methods of taxation. including a tax on alcohol sales. And in 1660, he formed the Royal Society. So the Royal Society was an organization that sponsored the sciences. And it was during this time that some amazing scientific breakthroughs were made, usually by the men that were part of the society or who led it. So, for example, Isaac Newton himself once led the Royal Society. However, Charles II's reign was not without troubles or issues. It was during his reign that Britain had wars with what would now become the Netherlands. So we call these the Anglo-Dutch Wars, and they were a series of conflicts between Britain and the Netherlands. So there were really three conflicts. So the first conflict, Britain won, but the two subsequent conflicts saw Britain lose. In the second conflict with the Netherlands, Britain ended up spending 10 times more than it had anticipated, and yet they still lost. So the finances weren't the greatest at this time. And also some kind of disasters happened during his reign as well that didn't help sort of stabilize the country. So some of these disasters were the Great Fire of London. This was in 1666, and the Great Plague in 1665 to 1666. So the Great Plague was a kind of return to the bubonic plague that had affected the Normans earlier. So these two disasters proved very difficult for Charles. His health would suffer, and he eventually would die in 1685 at the age of only 54. So when Charles II died, his death was unexpected. And he was succeeded by his brother, James II. James II was a Catholic, and James was also a difficult leader. He had a difficult relationship with the Parliament that had gained a lot of power during the Civil Wars. And of course, being Catholic, he had difficulty with the Protestants in general. So actually, James II's reign would only last 3 years until 1688. What happened? Influential elites in England and Scotland invited William of Orange, who was the Dutch leader, to take over the British throne. This may seem somewhat confusing, because why would they invite another leader to take over the British throne? Actually, William of Orange was married to James II's daughter, Mary. They wanted her to take the throne, but of course she came with her husband. So they invited them as a pair to take over. So when William of Orange arrived to British shores, he came with an army, and James II was so unpopular, his army actually just deserted him. So now we have what we call the Glorious Revolution. And the Glorious Revolution was the relatively peaceful removal of King James and his replacement by William of Orange and his wife, Mary. So, of course, this stabilized the country in some way. And this revolution had some very important outcomes that shaped the course of British history. What William and Mary did, they established Parliament's sovereignty, which basically meant that Parliament's authority and legitimacy were now fixed. They couldn't be removed or affected by a leader at all. And they also devised something called the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is what is created. It created what we call a constitutional monarchy. And that made the so-called absolute monarchies a thing of the past. So a constitutional monarchy means the leader is just a symbol, and actually the running of the country was done by Parliament completely. They didn't want a repeat of what happened with Charles I.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.